I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, we're in Hollywood with stars like Keegan-Michael Key of Key & Peele and comedian Patton Oswalt and Pac-Man.
I saw a ghost.
Where?
The maze. The maze where I always go to eat dots. The maze, man!
Plus Ellie Kemper from The Office and comedian Paul F. Tompkins, who delivers dramatic readings of not-so-positive book reviews.
I do not recommend this book to anyone not trying to fall asleep fast.
Musician Amy Mann tells us what's for breakfast.
Egg.
Simple. And she and Ted Leo play some music.
It's true. No one else will do what you do. Volunteers of America. I'm calling you.
All on Wits, all coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and KPCC, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. Coming to you from Largo at the Coronet in Hollywood, California. Quick message to my family and friends in Minnesota. I arrived safely. I am here in Hollywood, the Dream Factory. Yeah, the actual Dream Factory. It's a little ways up La Cienega Boulevard from the theater here. It's just past Melrose. It's a big place. Now, I should fill in the rest of the country on how Hollywood and the Dream Factory actually work. See, before there was Hollywood, there were no dreams. People would fall asleep and just see, like, a daguerreotype of a horse for hours and hours. But one man thought we could do better as a world of sleepers, and that man was William Hollywoodland. He said, I shan't spend a third of my life gazing upon a representation of a steed. I should rather see a representation of me riding the steed, or be temporarily back in high school and unprepared for a test, or chased by a monster and my legs unable to walk. Wise words. William Hollywoodland moved here to Southern California, named his neighborhood Hollywoodland after himself, erected a sign to mark it as such, and then decided to shorten his name for showbiz reasons. He became Bill Hollywood and tore down the last four letters of the sign on the hillside with his hands. Bill Hollywood's idea was a simple one, ingenious in its simplicity. Get a theater, invent movies somehow, outfit each seat with needles so small that theater patrons would not feel the injections, then drain a little bit of each audience member's life force and load it into a tank located below each theater. The more the person is stimulated, the more active their life force gets. So you show them chase sequences or kissing or a computer hacker saying, "We're in," or a chief of police taking someone off the case for being way out of line, stuff like that. And it would churn up the life force, making it drain easier. And also, buttered popcorn serves as a sort of anticoagulant to life force. We all know that. The tanks are then taken to the Dream Factory, a building up the street here, mixed with psychotropic hallucinogens and processed into a fine powder, which is then loaded onto drone aircraft and spread in a mist throughout the world. That's why we dream. The project is funded by your disposable entertainment income. It's like a tax, really. A price we pay to live in a society that dreams worth it, I think, and no worse a business model than public broadcasting. It's a business model, in fact, that a public broadcasting program such as ours could learn a lot from. So, I hope your seats are comfortable. We got a great show. Please welcome our music director, John Munson. Musical guests, Amy Mann and Ted Leo. From Key and Peele, the actor, writer, producer, Keegan-Michael Key. Please welcome comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Comedian and actor Patton Oswalt. And a dear friend, very funny actress, Ellie Kemper, is here as well. We are fortunate to have many professional actors with us this week, actors who have agreed to share their art with us. Join us as they present short dramatic monologues using one-star reviews from Amazon.com of classic works. This is Amazon Review Theater. Please welcome Paul F. Tompkins.
Please bear in mind that these are the actual reviews. Not a single word is being altered. Sense and sensibility. I'm going to burn my copy after I'm done with it, which should be soon. This book is for women. Not for a man such as myself. I do not recommend this book to anyone not trying to fall asleep fast. It goes well with my Antonia as being good fuel for a fire. Never read this. This is crap. I don't care who you are. The Metamorphosis. This novel, The Metamorphosis, in my eyes, was boring and had no point in my view. I hate this novel, and I rate it very low because it is very fictional. And I do not think that changing that much would ever occur to mess up somebody's family that bad. The death of Ivan Ilyich. Look. I'm not a person who struggles with hidden meanings or roundabout wording. I was reading Charles Dickens by the age of 11. But this I don't understand. The man simply was not writing to whatever percentage of his audience I represent. I guess it's existential or something. Look, my advice is this. If you don't start to get something out of it by the end of the first chapter, put it away and don't look at it again. Ever.
Paul F. Tompkins, everybody. I could talk to any of our guests this week for hours. We don't have hours, so instead we're going to boil down entire interviews to one big question. There may be follow-ups, but we lead with one big question. Keegan-Michael Key is one of the stars of the Comedy Central sketch comedy program Key and Peele. He's appeared on Reno 911, Gary Unmarried, and was once the host of The Planet's Funniest Animals. Keegan-Michael Key, welcome to WITS.
Thank you so much, John.
Your one big question, what is at the heart of your working relationship with Jordan Peele that makes your collaboration so successful?
It's undying animosity. It's undying respect, really. And so it's interesting. I feel like a Mormon often because I'm married to two people. So I have my work wife and my home wife. But Jordan and I think the big secret is we just try to write stuff that makes each other laugh.
Yeah.
That's the big rule, is what can I do to crack him up today?
What makes Jordan laugh the most, then, that in your experience, if this is the objective?
Apparently, it's me at my most absent-minded is what makes him laugh. Sometimes it's so strange. Like, sometimes whenever I'm in this place, when I'm in this zone, I go, am I driving? You know, that, yeah. That kind of stuff makes him laugh.
That's what does the job.
Surprisingly, while I'm driving, I'll say that, yeah.
And then what does he do that makes you laugh the most?
For me, he has this really funny deadpan quality. He's a very easygoing guy. His heart beats at a much slower rate than mine. And then every now and again, he'll just go, "Agaya, agaya, agaya." He just does that. And that dissembles me.
Keegan-Michael Key, everybody. They are each accomplished solo musicians in their own right. Recently, they have been teaming up, forming a musical duo with all new songs. Here are Amy Mann and Ted Leo, the Both.
Contract's a joke, but when you see smoke, you run toward the fire cause you must. And they all called your name when the crash finally came and left you to pick up the dust. I saw you walking in silence down to the bridge when nothing went over the side. So I guess to someone with your heritage, withdrawal like consent is implied. And it's true, no one else will do what you do. Volunteers of America, I'm calling you.
What makes you feel less than ideal if you can't get over it all? That walk away clause. Just because I'm not at the cross on the wall. Oh, the last time I saw you holding your side, but I put my hand into believe. Oh, but I could meet those elephant eyes, and you could take time to grieve. And it's true,
no one else will do what you do. Volunteers of America, I'm calling you.
His 1,000 yards stare and you
can't take his head. I guess we're not sleeping again.
Shrine, a go-to solution that then come
tomorrow you turn down again. So bring out your poor, you washed on the shore, you're naked, your team and depressed. You take them all in, cause that's where you've been. A person who has to say yes. And every Sunday or Wednesday, you pay homage to the naked and modern and dead. Where every crypt tells the story of you. Where bodies are bodies, they're bread. And it's true, no one else will do what you do. Volunteers of America, I'm calling you. No one else will do what you do. Volunteers of America, I'm calling you.
Thank you.
Ted Leo and Amy Mann, along with John Munson. Coming up, some deeply unhinged film criticism and more Amazon Review Theater. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with musicians Amy Mann and Ted Leo, and comedians and actors Patton Oswalt, Paul F. Tompkins, Ellie Kemper, and Keegan-Michael Key.
Yo como el almuerzo con mi pingüino. Yo como el almuerzo con mi pingüino.
Hey, Ellie.
Why are you eating lunch with a penguin?
Is that what I was saying? Ugh, Paul, I'm trying to learn Spanish, and this book is useless.
But you speak English, and Spanish isn't English. Why speak Spanish when you already speak English? Why would you learn a language with so many squiggles? Why are you focusing on Spanish? Why, Ellie Kemper, why? I'm frustrated and confused and cold.
Patton, if I can master Spanish, maybe I can finally get cast on a Spanish soap opera. I saw one last week that was about gorilla surgeons. Gorilla surgeons!
That sounds awful and amazing all at once. Like a hot dog in a waffle cone.
Did someone say hot dog in a waffle cone? Yum.
Super yum. But nothing can help me. Yo soy can't figure it out.
Stop talking. Try what Pat and I are already at. Tom Waits Spanish instruction cassettes. Here, put in these earbuds right now.
Ow, you're hurting me.
That means it's working.
Hola, I'm Tom Waits. You're inside my car parked in a swamp. Don't blame me, blame your gut full of Hong Kong bourbon.
He sounds like the narrator of my nightmares.
I'm here to teach you the phrases you need to know before you get it wrong, before the train to Moscow derails, before Beulah shows up wanting her money. Translate the following. Excuse me, waitress. Can you help me domesticate this elephant?
Well, when am I ever going to need to say that?
Next Thursday.
How does he know that?
He's in our brains. He's in all our brains.
Perdón, camarada. ¿Puedes ayudarme a domesticar esta cabra?
How did I know that?
It's the Tom Waits Spanish Instruction Cassette Earbud Chemicals. You can get them in peppermint, spearmint, or wet Lucky Strike flavors.
Say this in Spanish, Mitzi. I'll work in your pizza shop, but I demand to be paid in secrets.
I can't do this! It's too hard!
Listen, Mitzi. You can cry about your problems till your mascara forms a puddle of black ruin and your shoes rot like an old Danish, or you can translate what I told you.
Trabajaré en la pizzería, pero me demande hacer pecado en secretos.
Good. Feel the Spanish flow through you like the nickel coffee at Norm's. End of side A.
Wow. That was really frightening, but I feel like I've got a grasp on Spanish.
Tom Waits Spanish instruction cassettes.
Close the hatch,
Close
Mitzi.
Close the hatch, Mitzi.
Once again, Amazon Review Theater. Dramatic monologues of one-star Amazon.com reviews of classic works. Please welcome Keegan-Michael Key.
North by Northwest.
Is this movie exciting? Yes. But if you, like my wife and I, like to watch old Hitchcock movies because they are usually clean and wholesome, this film will very much disappoint you because of one scene. The primary female character brazenly states lustful intentions for a total stranger whom she obviously knows is wanted by the police.
Next, the two hop in bed together. Though nothing is graphically shown, it is quite obvious what has happened. Perhaps that embarrassing scene was an effort on the part of Hitchcock to appear as part of the trendy new sexual revolution. I am glad that most of his films are not like that. Dixon Ticonderoga wood case number 2 pencils box of 12 yellow. Shopping, start to write, break. Shopping, rice for 1 minute, break. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The whole box. These pencils are awful. The teachers in the school recommend these. Maybe they used to be good. But not anymore. Unless there is a public statement from Ticonderoga that they made a mistake and have rectified the problem, stay far away.
Keegan Michael Key.
Oh, Lordy.
Support for Wits comes from Johnstown brand Bruce Springsteen kits. Got some engine grease and some breakfast cereal? Now you can build your own Bruce Springsteen. And from the upcoming sequel to Paul Blart Mall Cop, it's called Blal Nard Grawl Blop. Additional funding provided by Kraft Acrimony and Cheese for when you want a meal that's quick and spiteful. Paul F. Tompkins is a stand-up comedian and actor. He hosts the Speakeasy series of interviews online, and he is a regular on Comedy Bang Bang. Paul F. Tompkins, good to see you again.
John? John, it is good to be seen by you.
You're a native Philadelphian. You live in Los Angeles.
That's right.
What is the difference between life in Los Angeles and life in Philadelphia? That is your one big question.
Oh, that's a very easy question to answer. When you leave that kind of weather and you come here to a place where it's perfect all the time, you can't go back. You can't. I spent a year in New York after having lived here for 14 years, and it was the most challenging year of my entire life just to get through that winter, which didn't help when everybody's saying, like, man, it hasn't been this cold here in a long time. Like, I think you got to check the Farmer's Almanac or something. This is unheard of. It was like that thing where I would get headaches in the winter, and I realized it would be from grimacing. From being outside.
The muscles
like
in your face.
Yes, I was expressing my displeasure at the icy wind whipping at my face so hard when I got inside, my head hurt.
I want to try something because this is radio. Patton, could you help me out? Patton, could you describe Paul's pained face for our radio listeners?
Hey, this is your...
Like this.
Oh, okay. You look like you're experiencing simultaneously... something that sounds bad, something that smells bad, and both of the sound and smell are bringing back a horribly painful memory from, so the pain, can I just say, and I think the audience agree with me, doesn't it look like the grimace itself is trying to push its way out of his face? Rather, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm trying to escape from my own experience.
And
like, there's got to be something better than this. I'll go out through my face.
Paul F. Tompkins, everybody. Here with more music, Ted Leo and Amy Mann, the both.
holds a shadow in the wind, and he let it tell you things. Yeah, you planted in the ground, but you don't make a sound. No, sir. All the helicopters fell. You can feel them on your trail. You can hear it in his voice, but you don't have a choice.
No, sir. You've never been, and it's fluid where it turns into steam. You'll walk through it, even wading upstream. You'll get to it. There's a way, and it is known. You won't make it there alone. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
It's Amy Mann and Ted Leo with John Munson. Amy Mann and Ted Leo, you're going to share one big question. Here it comes. As a duo, how do you contrast with one another?
Well, there are a couple of obvious ways.
Please don't say
ways.
I'm a little bit country.
No, I was going to suggest I think the first thing that probably comes to most people's minds is, I'll keep this brief, but when we were making our record, we discovered that I sing everything 2 milliseconds ahead of the beat.
It's 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds.
Yeah, yeah. 20.
20 yeah. Milliseconds
ahead of the beat.
Ahead of
the beat.
Consistently.
In the
consistently.
Future. Yeah.
Yeah. Consistently, without flux. So
it has been said, and I'm not sure if I said this or you said this, but that we're sort of like Four Loco, and you're the caffeine.
Right. Exactly, that's what I was driving.
Yeah, the stimulant part, yeah. And I'm yeah. And I'm the flavored malt liquor. I don't know
the
if I like that actually. Now that I
smooth
now that I come up
flavored malt liquor.
Yeah, that's the malt liquor that tastes like NyQuil.
Yes,
or Seroflu. Right. Yeah.
And together we make a horrible fruit tasting.
A thing that will give you the worst hangover of your life.
A thing that's illegal in many states.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then if that's how you contrast, how do you compare? What are the similarities?
the sort of blonde.
I feel, well,
we're both of a certain age.
I'm 10 years older than a certain age.
Amy Mann and Ted Leo, everybody. The both. And now the Wits game show. Patton Oswalt, Keegan-Michael Key, and Ellie Kemper. You will be one team. Paul F. Tompkins, Amy Mann, and Ted Leo, you will be the other team. Our game this week, Critics Corner. I will name a made-up film. Oswalt, Key, and Kemper will describe scenes from the film, offering trenchant, high-minded film criticism, the kind found on classy public radio shows such as ours. I might jump in to keep the conversation on track, or I might jump in because I feel like it. Mann, Leo, and Tompkins, professional musicians except Tompkins, will play a song from the film.
So what?
The turn the tables option is in effect for this game. Each team can use this once to make the teams switch tasks for that particular round. I will declare a winner after each round. As always, my decisions will be unfair and capricious. I will declare an overall winner at the end. Are you ready? It doesn't matter. Here we go. Film number one. This goes to Oswalt, Key, and Kemper first. Please deconstruct, offer analysis of The Big Lights of the Medium-Sized Village.
Welcome back to Projecting on National Public Radio, right in the middle of our hot and heavy discussion on the new film Big Lights in
of the Medium-Sized Village.
Of the Medium-Sized Village. Now, our resident guests, Ellie Kemper and Keegan-Michael Key, things got a little heated last segment about this film, okay. And I hope we can get beyond some of the personal attacks and get into what you actually disagreed about in this film.
It's just that the village doesn't seem that medium-sized. It seems like a really large village.
Well, maybe I'm from a bigger village than you're from, all right? It seemed medium to me. If you're going to go small or large, mm-hmm. and you're in the middle, then you're medium.
At any rate, everybody's confused as to who the protagonist even is in the film. Is it Machuk Chok?
I'm not sure.
Or is it Kumla? I don't know.
I'm not sure we're meant to know, Keegan, once again.
All right, we're moving on. Over to Tompkins, Mann, and Leo for a song, please, from The Big Lights of the Medium-Sized Village.
This is an interesting song. It was written by Elvis Costello.
The big lights in the medium-sized village. Machuca. Turn out the lights, but you go.
The round goes to Tompkins, Mann, and Leo. Tompkins, Mann, Leo, you'll go first for this one. Please, a song from the film Jazz Hospital.
Jazz Hospital, great song from a great movie. And it goes a little something. I like this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jazz Hospital. Everybody's running around. Jazz Hospital. Patch Adams looks like a clown. Jazz Hospital. You got a broken leg, you got a broken heart. Jazz Hospital. The ambulance is here. Look how many people.
All right. A solid entry. Sounded like an old 78 record. Back to our team of critics, Oswalt, Key, and Kemper. Please tell me about Jazz Hospital.
Look, I'm sorry, guys. I hated this film. I don't understand. You've got this amazing human drama. You have Utah jazz players being patched up in this amazing ER, and they're playing. It sounded like they're playing old 78 scratches. Are they making fun of the players?
You didn't see the uplifting quality of the picture when all the players get up out of their hospital beds and start dancing the Charleston in the middle of the movie?
With bones sticking out of their skin. Ellie, am I crazy?
You're not crazy. This was about American Indians and what we did to them.
Oh my God.
That is what it's about.
We'll be back after this message when we'll talk about Scat Hostel, which...
Scat Hostel is a much better film. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that when we come back.
The round goes to Oswalt, Key, and Kemper.
Yay!
Mostly because Patton pulled off a really good out cue forward promote. That was
future
in broadcasting.
Really, you should see Scott Hostel. It's great.
I don't know if these people know the terms, John.
Well, I'm trying to recover from the idea of Scat Hostel, if you don't mind.
All right. There's no music in it.
All right. The turn the tables option is still on the board, and you're free to use this after you hear the entry here. For Oswald, Key, and Kemper to go first, the movie is Wise Dogs.
I want to turn the tables.
Turn the tables.
Okay.
We're going to describe Wise Dogs.
All right.
And they're going
to
sing
then
it.
We're going to sing it.
Then Key and Oswald and Kemper will sing it.
Oh, boy.
All right. Over to Leo and Tompkins.
Wise Dogs, a cautionary tale. July 1968. The country was in turmoil. A freak thunderstorm strikes the city of Portland, Maine.
Wow, yeah, it's storm a coming.
Four dogs, typical dogs, dumb as dirt, get struck by lightning and achieve sentience far beyond even the smartest human being.
E equals MC squared.
Not according to string theory.
Guys, we can talk about this later. Together, these three dogs journey to Bethlehem.
All right, we're moving on.
Wow.
Now, Oswald, Key, and Kemper, you're going to be singing. Would you like some accompaniment?
It is a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Or trio after the second act of the movie when Blitzy dies horribly.
So,
Rough
roar.
I'm a dog with a brain. On the yard I leave a stain. But that's instinct that I use, because I know how the tools. It's a time I'll eat anything, usually batter, but my gray matter now works better than ever it did before.
Well, I know string theory, and I understand Proust, but I still want to kill all those chickens in the roost. I'm a big wise dog. I'm going to leave a stain on the carpet. I'm gonna
I'm giving a point to each team on that one. Everybody gets a point on that one. Our music director, John Munson's just sitting back there. I'm gonna give him a point too. Congratulations, John. Audience gets a point as well. Nice work. Which means it's all tied up going into the final round.
I
feel like this has been engineered for drama.
Well, I don't control this.
Oh.
We better not lose!
Oswald, Key, and Kemper will go first. The movie is What's in the Attic? Oh, it's a mummy.
You know, am I the only one that thought that the third act surprise was ruined in the title? Back me up on this, guys.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You're not wrong.
The entire film lacked... I was waiting for the mummy. Moment one.
I think we all were. I've never seen Sigourney Weaver be better. I will say that. She was...
And she wore a pith helmet the entire film, and she was so captivating, that wasn't distracting.
But I will say, I have never seen Daniel Day-Lewis be worse.
See, and that's the yin and yang.
I don't need...
Was he the mummy?
He was indeed the mummy, yes.
Exactly, well, and just the intensity threw the bandages through me.
Yeah, well, it was an off day for him, I guess.
And look, I respect that he had himself mummified and buried in the sands of Egypt, but I'm sorry, did not see that on the screen.
Over to Tompkins, Mann, and Leo. A song, please, from What's in the Attic, Oh, It's a Mummy.
It's a beautiful song. Written by Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Does Elvis Costello sing this one too?
Maybe no. Sung by Mr. Jack Jones.
Yeah.
It was a number one hit for 4 years. You run around, you come home, take off your coat, and you're all alone. There's no one in the house. There's no love. What do you do? You turn on the stereo, the same old song. You say that you already know. You turn on the radio, but you hear
Tompkins Man and Leo wins around. Congratulations.
Hold on a second. Now, here's what you must understand about comedy improv songs. They're extremely hard to do,
yep.
And I'm extremely bad at them.
No.
This was the best role I've ever been on.
Oh.
I like thought it.
I'm sorry.
I could see the whole field. When I mentioned radio, did you not think I was going to mention the word static? And then, did you not think maybe in this house that I've heard it described, I was going to make it up to the attic?
All right.
Yes.
A flame snuffed a morning.
All right. Congratulations to Man, Leo, and Tompkins.
Yeah.
More with Patton Oswalt, Paul F. Tompkins, Ellie Kemper, Keegan-Michael Key, Amy Mann, and Ted Leo in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with comedians and actors Patton Oswalt, Paul F. Tompkins, Ellie Kemper, Keegan-Michael Key, and singer-songwriters Amy Mann and Ted Leo.
Hey, man.
Hey, Pac-Man. You okay?
No. No, I'm far from okay.
Yeah, you don't look okay.
Well, then my outsides match my insides because I am not okay.
Because normally, you're a confident guy, big eater, huge mouth. Now you look unnerved. What's wrong, Pac-Man?
You know how when you become an adult, you think you have stuff pretty figured out?
Yeah, Pac-Man, I studied abroad.
Exactly. And then you see something and you're like, wait, if that's possible, maybe everything I knew isn't valid anymore. Do you disregard that new thing? And how? How do you expand your worldview to encompass a thing that was previously impossible?
What did you see?
I can't even...
Pac-Man?
I...
What did you see, Pac-Man?
I saw a ghost, man.
Pac-Man, what?
I saw a ghost.
Pac-Man, please.
I saw a dead person, which is a person that is dead. Only their soul was floating around like they got errands to do. I saw a ghost.
Where?
The maze. The maze where I always go to eat dots. The maze, man!
I believe you, Pac-Man. You're my friend, and I believe you.
Thanks, man. But I don't know if I believe me. I may be cracking up here.
Do you know why I believe you?
You just said, we're friends.
Yeah, but also, in addition, I have something to tell you.
Oh, man, what?
Oh, it's something big.
You better not be about to tell me what it feels like you're about to tell me.
I'm?
Don't say it. Don't you say it, man.
American.
What? Oh. Oh, I am so relieved because I thought my worst fears would be realized just then.
And I'm a ghost.
Nope, they just got realized. Okay.
Sorry.
You are not a ghost.
I'm a ghost. Orange ghost.
We're friends, man.
I'm the ghost of your friend.
Clyde? No.
I'm sorry, Pac-Man.
Man, you ain't sorry.
Nope. And Pac-Man?
Yeah?
You better run.
I'm sorry. What's that now?
I'm gonna get you, Pac-Man.
Keegan-Michael Key as Pac-Man, Patton Oswalt as Clyde. Patton Oswalt is a stand-up comedian, an actor who has appeared in The Heart She Holler, Big Fan, Axe Cop, Justified, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Patton, welcome back to Wits.
Thank you. Thank you. Be back.
Patton, you've talked about depression, about wanting to kill yourself in the freezer section of a grocery store, and it was so humane and funny and bold. What is funny about depression?
What's funny about depression is that it is, as horrible as it is you. Everyone's like, I just want to be real and authentic. Well, there's nothing more realistic and authentic than looking at the world and being horribly depressed about it. So I love the fact that depression exists because it sort of puts a lot of that, I just want to get real, man, too. A lot. No, you don't. You want to find some kind of way to alleviate crashing reality any way you can. So whenever someone says, I'm just trying to keep it real, just go, you're in depression. You're depressed. That's why you're...
So man, is the...
That was
is the
bummer. Just bummed everyone out. And I apologize to the hip-hop community.
So is the comedy in there then that a comedian's role is to tell the unpleasant or surprising, therefore humorous truth?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've had to deal with depression my whole life, so I've a way that I've done it is through comedy. I know that sounds very simple. So if I can say it, if I can talk about it on stage, then when I'm back, it's almost like when I'm back in my real everyday life and my depression creeps up, it almost like it helps me handle it because then my depression now is like, you're not going to use me in your routine, are you? I don't want to... I mean, I'm trying to, like, bum you out. I don't need you to make some stupid joke about, oh, I dealt with my depression. I was in the frozen food aisle, and I heard Toto's Africa wanted to blow my brains out. That wasn't cool, man. I was really trying to talk you into suicide, and you turned into some... I'm not one of your chunks. You know, I'm not one of your little five-minute chunks, man. I'm depression. And it's a way to shrink it. And I'm sorry, NPR, for cursing, but you know what? I'm just trying to keep it real.
Patton Oswalt, everybody. Once again, Amazon Review Theater, dramatic monologues of one-star Amazon.com reviews of classic works. Please welcome Elliot Kemper.
Okay. Yay! The Wizard of Oz. If you live in a country where they have TV and have never seen this movie, then you're probably either 2 years old or you have some phobia of sound or something. Accept the fact that it was revolutionary for its time. I'll even acknowledge that it has a special place in many people's hearts because they remember watching it as a kid when their lives weren't so miserable. However, my life is not miserable, and I don't have to watch bad movies from my childhood to feel good about myself. So if your life is joyless, then perhaps this is the movie for you. Old Yeller. Stop killing dogs! I can't stand it when dogs die in movies. I'd much rather watch people die before dogs. I could laugh my butt off watching Meryl Streep in pain from cancer. In that dumb movie with Renee Zellweger before I can stand to see a dog suffer. Wow. The Office. It is the most depressive and unpleasant show I have ever seen in my life. I've caught myself turning my face off the TV. It is about cocaine-boosted idiot that runs a small office of several fully suppressed individuals. All I feel about these people is sincere sorry. They are trying to pick up some office stereotypes and insanities, but they go so far that it feels more like a clinic. Not recommended at all.
Ellie Kemper, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. And now the Wits Lightning Round. Quick questions, quick answers, quicksand. Patton Oswalt, scale of 1 to 10, how hopeful are you about the new Star Wars movie?
Negative integers.
Ellie Kemper, what's the most important thing you learned from your high school drama teacher, John Hamm?
That he's very handsome.
Amy Mann, what's the ideal breakfast for someone to eat?
Egg.
Ted Leo, how good are you at parallel parking?
Excellent.
Patton, who should play you in a biopic of your life?
Somebody from Orange is the New Black. I can't think of her name.
Paul. Paul, who should play Patton in a biopic of his life?
Julianne Hough.
Keegan, would we be better off if we pronounced biopic as biopic?
Yes, we would, because it sounds like myopic.
Paul. Paul, what's the secret to comedy? Patton Oswalt, what's the secret to comedy?
Ask Paul.
Ellie, what's the secret to comedy?
John Hamm.
Keegan, what's the secret
to comedy? Timing.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round.
Yeah.
A lot of people help make Wits happen. Thanks to our broadcast engineers, Corey Schreppel and Johnny Vince Evans, our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, our interns, Jillian Jacob and Sam Siegel, our stage manager, Tom Campbell and Ali Lozoff. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, Lauren McGuire and Mike Fotis. We're joined this week by our music director, John Munson, and comedians and actors, Ellie Kemper, Keegan-Michael Key, Patton Oswalt and Paul F. Tompkins, and singer-songwriters Ted Leo and Amy Mann. We're on Twitter, at Wits, on Facebook, just look for us, and on the World Wide Web at witsradio.org. You can get information there on past and future shows, and you can sign up for the Wits newsletter. All of our shows are podcasts on iTunes. Check us out, write a review if you could. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Wits was created by our head of live events, Tony Bowl, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.